Orville Redfeather. Orville stands in front of Opal's bedroom mirror with his regalia on, all wrong. It isn't backward, and actually he doesn't know what he did wrong. But it's off. He moves in front of the mirror, and his feathers shake. He catches the hesitation, the worry in his eyes, there in the mirror. He worries suddenly that Opal might come into her room where Orville is doing... what? There would be too much to explain. He wonders what she would do if she caught him. Ever since they were in her care, Opal had been openly against any of them doing anything Indian. She treated it all like it was something they could decide for themselves when they were old enough. Like drinking, or driving, or smoking, or voting. Indianing. Too many risks, she said. Especially around powwows. Boys like you? No. Orville couldn't fathom what she meant by risks. He'd found the regalia by accident in her closet many years ago while searching for Christmas presents. He'd asked her why she didn't teach them anything about being Indian. Cheyenne way, we let you learn for yourself, then teach you when you're ready. That doesn't make any sense, Orville had said. If we learn for ourselves, we don't need to be taught. It's 'cause you're always working. He saw his grandma's head turn from the pot she was stirring. He quickly pulled out a chair and sat down. Don't make me say it, Orville, she said. I get so tired of hearing myself say it. You know how much I work, how late I come home. I got my route and the mail doesn't stop coming just like the bills don't. Your phones, the internet, electricity, food. There's rent and clothes and bus and train money. Listen, baby, it makes me happy you want to know. But learning about your heritage is a privilege. A privilege we don't have. And anyway, anything you hear from me about your heritage does not make you more or less Indian. More or less a real Indian. Don't ever let anyone tell you what being Indian means. Too many of us died to get just a little bit of us here, right now, right in this kitchen. You. Me. Every part of our people that made it is precious. You're Indian because you're Indian because you're Indian, she said, ending the conversation by turning back around to stir. So if we had more money, if you didn't have to work so much, things would be different? Orville said. You didn't hear a thing I said to you, did you? She said. Opal Viola Victoria Bearshield. Big old name for a big old lady. She's not technically their grandma. Indian way she is. That's what she told them when she explained why she was a Bearshield and they were red feathers. She is actually their great aunt. Their real grandma, Jackie Redfeather, lives in New Mexico. Opal is Jackie's half-sister, but they grew up together, with the same mom. Jackie's daughter Jamie is the boy's mom. But all Jamie ever did was push them out. Didn't even quit using when they were in her. The three of them had all begun life in withdrawal. Heroin babies. Jamie shot herself between the eyes when Orville was 6, his brothers 4 and 2. Opal officially adopted them after their mom died, but she'd had them plenty before that. Orville only has a handful of memories of his mom. He'd overheard these details when his grandma was talking to a friend on the kitchen phone late one night. Tell us something about her, Orville would say whenever he got the chance, moments when Opal was in a good mood and it seemed like she'd answer. She's how you all got those lousy spellings of your names. Opal told the boys over dinner one night after Lonnie told them the kids were calling him Loney the Pony at school. Nobody says it right, Lonnie said. She did that? Orville said. Of course she did. Who else? Not that she was stupid. She knew how to spell. She just wanted you all to be different. I don't blame her. Our name should look different. She was fucking stupid, Luther said. That shit's weak. He stood up, pushed his chair back, and walked out of the room. He'd always complained the most about the spelling of his name, even though people still pronounced it right. No one had ever even noticed that Orville was supposed to be spelled O-R-V-I-L-L-E, with that useless extra L and E. As for Lonnie, it was only because Opal knew their mom, knew how she said it, that anyone anywhere knew it wasn't supposed to be Loney as in pony. Orville manages to get the regalia on and steps in front of the full-length mirror on Opal's closet door. Mirrors have always been a problem for him. The word stupid often sounds in his head when he looks at himself in the mirror. He doesn't know why, but it seems important. And true. The regalia is itchy and faded in color. It's way too small. He doesn't look the way he hoped he would. He doesn't know what he expected to find. Being Indian didn't fit either. And virtually everything Orville learned about being Indian, he learned virtually. From watching hours and hours of powwow footage, documentaries on YouTube, by reading all that there was to read on sites like Wikipedia, powwows.com, and Indian Country Today. Googling stuff like, what does it mean to be a real Indian? Which led him several clicks through some pretty fucked up, judgmental forums, and finally to an UrbanDictionary.com word he'd never heard before. Pretendian. Orville knew he wanted to dance the first time he saw a dancer on TV. He was 12. It was November, so it was easy to find Indians on TV. Everyone else had gone to bed. He was flipping through channels when he found him. There on the screen, in full regalia. The dancer moved like gravity meant something different for him. It was like breakdancing in a way, Orville thought, but both new, even cool, and ancient-seeming. There was so much he'd missed, hadn't been given, hadn't been told. In that moment, in front of the TV, he knew. He was a part of something, something you could dance to. And so what Orville is, according to himself, standing in front of the mirror with his too-small-for-him stolen regalia, is dressed up like an Indian. In hides and ties, ribbons and feathers, boned breastplate and hunched shoulders, he stands, weak in the knees, a fake, a copy, a boy playing dress-up. And yet there's something there. Behind that stupid, glazed-over stare, the one he so often gives his brothers, that critical, cruel look, behind that, he can almost see it. Which is why he keeps looking, keeps standing in front of the mirror. He's waiting for something true to appear before him, about him. It's important that he dress like an Indian, dance like an Indian, even if it is an act, even if he feels like a fraud the whole time. Because the only way to be Indian in this world is to look and act like an Indian. To be or not to be Indian depends on it. Today, the Redfeather brothers are going to get Lonnie a new bike. On the way, they stop at the Indian Center. Orville's supposed to be getting $200 to tell a story for a storytelling project he read about on Facebook. Luther and Lonnie sit outside in the hall while Orville is led into a room by a guy who introduced himself as Dean Oxendine. Dean sits Orville down in front of a camera. He sits behind the camera, crosses his legs, leans in toward Orville. Can you tell me your name, your age, and where you're from? Dean says. Okay. Orville Redfeather, 14, Oakland. What about your tribe? Do you know what tribe you are? Cheyenne, from our mom's side. And how do you find out about this project? Facebook. Said it paid $200? That's right. I'm here to collect stories in order to have them available online for people from our community and communities like ours to hear and see. When you hear stories from people like you, you feel less alone. When you feel less alone and like you have a community of people behind you, alongside you, I believe you can live a better life. Does that make sense? Sure. What does it mean to you when I say story? I don't know, Orville says. Without thinking about it, he crosses his legs like Dean. Try. It's just telling other people something that happened to you. Good. That's basically it. Now tell me something that happened to you. Like what? That's up to you. It's just like you said. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Tell me something that's happened to you that stands out, that you thought of right away. Me and my brothers? How we ended up with our grandma, who we live with now? It was after the first time we thought our mom overdosed. Would you mind talking about that day? I barely remember anything from when I was younger. But I remember that day perfectly. It was a Saturday, so me and my brothers had been watching cartoons all morning. I went to the kitchen to make us sandwiches, and I found her face down on the kitchen floor. Her nose was all smashed into the floor and bleeding, and I knew it was bad because her arms were curled up at her stomach like she'd fallen down on top of them, which meant she nodded out walking. First thing I did was send my brothers to the front yard. We were living off of 38th then, in a little blue house with this tiny gated patch of grass that we were still small and young enough to like playing on. I got out Mom's makeup mirror and put it under her nose. I'd seen that on a show, and when I saw that it barely fogged up, I called 911. When they came, because I told the operator about how it was just me and my brothers besides our mom, they came with two cop cars and a CPS worker. He was this old Indian guy I never saw again except for that one time. It was the first time I heard that we were Indian. He recognized that we were Indian just by looking at us. They carried our mom out on a stretcher while a social worker showed my little brothers a magic trick with a book of matches. Or he was just lighting matches and it felt like magic. I don't know. He's the reason they called our grandma and why we ended up getting adopted by her. He took us to his office and asked who else there was besides our mom. After talking to our grandma, Opal, we left and met her at the hospital. And then we went home with her. Home with your grandma? Yeah. And your mom? She'd already left the hospital by the time we got there. Turned out she just got knocked out from the fall. She didn't overdose. That's a good story. Thank you. I mean, not good, but thank you for telling it. I get $200 now? Orville and his brothers leave the Indian Center and go straight to Target in West Oakland to get Lonnie's bike. Lonnie rides on the back of Luther's bike, on pegs. Even though the story had been sad to remember, Orville feels okay about having told it. He feels even better about the $200 gift card in his back pocket. He can't stop smiling. But his leg. The lump that's been in his leg for as long as he can remember, as of late it's been itching. He hasn't been able to stop scratching it. Some shit just went down in the bathroom, Orville tells Luther when he gets outside Target. Isn't that what it's supposed to do? Luther says. Shut the fuck up, Luther. I'm serious, Orville says. What? You didn't make it in time? Luther says. I was sitting there in the stall, picking at that thing. You remember that lump I got? I felt something poking out of it, so I pulled. Like, I just pulled one out, put it on some folded up toilet paper, then went back in and got another one. Then one more after that. Pretty sure they're spider legs, Orville says. Luther says and laughs, at which point Orville shows him a neat pile of folds of toilet paper. Let me see, Luther says. Orville opens up the folds of toilet paper and shows Luther. What the fuck? Luther says. Right out of my leg, Orville says. Are you sure it's not, like, splinters? Nah, look where the leg bends. There's a joint and a tip, like the end of the leg where it gets skinnier, look. That's fucked up, Luther says. But what about the other five? I mean, if they're spider legs, there should be eight, right? Before Orville can say anything else or put away the spider legs, Luther's on his phone. You looking it up? Orville asks him. But Luther doesn't answer. He just taps. Scrolls. Waits. You find anything? Orville says. Nah, not even a little bit, Luther says. When Lonnie comes out with his bike, Orville and Luther look down at it and nod. Lonnie smiles at their nods. Let's go, Orville says, then puts his earphones in. He looks back and sees his brothers put theirs in too. They ride back toward Wood Street. As they pass the Target sign, Orville remembers last year when they all got phones at Target on the same day as an early Christmas present. They were the cheapest phones they had, but at least they weren't flip phones. They were smart. They do all they need them to do. Make calls, text, play music, and get them on the internet. They ride together in a line and listen to what comes out of their phones. Orville mainly listens to powwow music. There's something in the energy of that big booming drum, in the intensity of the singing, like an urgency that feels specifically Indian. He likes the power the sound of a chorus of voices makes too. Those high-pitched wailed harmonies, how you can't tell how many singers there are, and how sometimes it sounds like 10 singers, sometimes like 100. There was even one time, when he was dancing in Opal's room with his eyes closed, when he felt like it was all his ancestors who made it so he could be there dancing and listening to that sound, singing right there in his ears through all those hard years they made it through. But that moment was also the first time his brothers saw him in regalia, dancing like that. They walked in on him in the middle of it, and they thought it was hilarious. They laughed and laughed, but promised not to tell Opal. As for Luther, not counting himself, he listens exclusively to three rappers: Chance the Rapper, Eminem, and Earl Sweatshirt. Luther writes and records his own raps to instrumentals he finds on YouTube, and makes Orville and Lonnie listen to them and agree with him about how good he is. As for Lonnie, they'd recently discovered what he's into. "You hear that?" Luther had asked one night in their room. "Yeah, it's like some kind of chorus or choir, right?" Orville said. "Yeah, like angels or some shit," Luther said. "Angels?" Orville said. "Yeah, like what they have them sound like." "What they have them sound like?" "I mean like movies and shit," Luther said. "Shut up. It's still going. Listen." They sat for the next couple of minutes and listened to the distant sound of the symphony, of the choir coming through an inch of speaker muted by Lonnie's ears, ready to believe it was anything, anything better than the sound they had the angels make. It hit Orville first what the sound was, and he started to say Lonnie's name, but Luther got up, put a finger to his lips, then went over and gently pulled Lonnie's earphones out. He put one of them close to his ear and smiled. He looked at Lonnie's phone and smiled bigger and showed it to Orville. "Beethoven?" Orville said. They ride up 14th toward downtown. 14th takes them through downtown to East 12th, which gets them to the Fruitvale without a bike lane, but on a street big enough so that even though cars get comfortable, swerve a little, and go faster on East 12th, it's better than riding the gutter edge of International Boulevard. When they get to Fruitvale and International, they stop in the Wendy's parking lot. Orville and Luther take out their phones. "Guys, seriously? Orville had spider legs in his leg? What the fuck?" Lonnie asks. Orville and Luther look at each other and laugh hard. Lonnie hardly ever curses, so when he does, it's always both super serious and funny to hear. "Come on," Lonnie says. "It's real, Lonnie," Orville says. "What does that mean, it's real?" Lonnie says. "We don't know," Orville says. "Call Grandma," Lonnie says. "And say what?" Luther says. "Tell her," Lonnie says. "She'll make it a big deal," Orville says. "What'd the internet say?" Lonnie asks. Luther just shakes his head. "Seems Indian," Orville says. "What?" Luther says. "Spiders and shit," Orville says. "Definitely Indian," Lonnie says. "Maybe you should call," Luther says. "Fuck," Orville says. "But the powwow's tomorrow." "What does that have to do with it?" Luther says. "You're right," Orville says. "It's not like she knows we're going." Orville leaves a message for his grandma when she doesn't pick up. He tells her they got Lonnie's bike, and then about the spider legs. While he leaves the message, he watches Luther and Lonnie look at the legs together. They poke at the legs and move the toilet paper so that the legs bend. Orville feels a pulse in his stomach, and like something falls out of him. After he hangs up, he takes the legs, folds up the toilet paper, and stuffs it in his pocket. The day of the powwow, Orville wakes up hot. He covers his face with the cold bottom of his pillow. He thinks about the powwow, then lifts the pillow and tilts his head to listen to what he thinks he hears from out in the kitchen. He wants to minimize their time with Opal before they go. He wakes his brothers up by hitting them with his pillow. They both moan and roll over, so he hits them again. "We gotta get out without having to talk to her. She might have made us breakfast. We'll tell her we're not hungry." "But I am hungry," Lonnie says. "Don't we want to hear what she thinks about the spider legs?" Luther says. "No," Orville says, "we don't. Not now." "I really don't think she'll care we're going to the powwow," Luther says. "Maybe," Orville says. "But what if she does?" Orville and his brothers ride their bikes down San Leandro Boulevard on the sidewalk in a line. At the Coliseum BART station, they lift their bikes and carry them on their shoulders, then ride across the pedestrian bridge that gets them to the Coliseum. They slow to a roll. Orville looks through the chain-link fence and sees the morning fog clearing to blue. Orville leads his brothers clockwise around the outer edge of the parking lot. He stands and pedals hard, and takes off his plain black hat and stuffs it into his hoodie's front pocket. After getting some speed, he stops pedaling, takes his hands off the handlebars, and grabs hold of his hair. It's gotten long, down to the middle of his back long. He ties his hair back with a beaded hair clip that he'd found with the regalia in his grandma's closet. He pulls his ponytail through the half circle in the back of his hat, which latches with the snaps of 6 small black plastic buttons in a line. He likes the sound, the feel of it when he can get them to snap down perfectly in a row. He picks up speed again, then coasts and looks back. Lonnie's in the back with his tongue sticking out from how hard he's pedaling. Luther's taking pictures of the Colosseum with his phone. The Colosseum looks massive. Bigger than it looks when you see it from BART, or driving by on the freeway. Orville's gonna dance on the same field that the A's and the Raiders play on. He'll compete as a dancer. He'll dance the dance he learned by watching powwow footage on YouTube. It's his first powwow. "Can we stop?" Lonnie says, out of breath. They stop halfway around the parking lot. "I gotta ask you guys something," Lonnie says.
"Just ask then, homie," Luther says.
"Shut up, Luther."
"What's up, Lonnie?"
Orville says, looking at Luther.
"I've been meaning to ask," Lonnie says. "Like, what's a powwow?"
Luther laughs, takes off his hat and hits it against his bike.
"Lonnie, we've seen hella powwows. What do you mean, what's a powwow?" Orville says.
"Yeah, but I never asked nobody," Lonnie says. "I didn't know what we were looking at." Lonnie tugs at the bill of his black and yellow A's cap to pull his head down. Orville looks up at the sound of a plane passing overhead.
"I mean, why does everyone dress up, dance, and sing Indian?" Lonnie says.
"Lonnie," Luther says, in that way an older brother can take you down by just saying your name.
"Never mind," Lonnie says.
"No," Orville says.
"Every time I ask questions, you guys make me feel stupid for asking," Lonnie says.
"Yeah, but, Lonnie, you ask hella stupid questions," Luther says. "Sometimes it's hard to know what to say."
"Then say it's hard to know what to say," Lonnie says, squeezing his handbrake.
He swallows hard, watching his hand grip the handbrake, then leans down to watch the brakes grip the front tire.
"They're just old ways, Lonnie. Dancing, singing Indian.
We gotta carry it on," Orville says.
"Why?"
Lonnie says.
"If we don't, they might disappear," Orville says.
"Disappear? Where are they gonna go?"
"I mean, like, people will forget."
"Why can't we just make up our own ways?" Lonnie says.
Orville puts his hand across his forehead the same way their grandma does when she's frustrated.
"Lonnie, you like the taste of Indian tacos, right?" Orville says.
"Yeah," Lonnie says.
"Would you just make up some food of your own and eat it?" Orville says.
"That actually sounds pretty fun," Lonnie says, still looking down but smiling a little now, which makes Orville laugh and say the word stupid in the middle of his laugh. Luther laughs too, but he's already looking at his phone. They get back on their bikes, then look up and see lines of cars streaming in, hundreds of people getting out of their cars. The boys stop. Orville gets off his bike. These are other Indians, getting out of their cars. Some of them already in full regalia. Real Indians like they'd never seen before, if you didn't count their grandma, who they probably should count, except that it was too hard for them to tell what was specifically Indian about her. She was all they knew besides their mom, who's too hard to think about or remember. Opal worked for the post office, delivered mail. She liked to watch TV when she was home, cook for them. They didn't know much else about her. She did make fried bread for them on special occasions. Orville pulls at the nylon straps of his backpack to tighten it and lets go of the handlebars. Lets the front wheel wobble, but balances by leaning back. In the backpack is the regalia that barely fits, his extra extra large black hoodie, which was too big for him on purpose, and 3 now squished peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in Ziploc plastic baggies he hopes they won't have to eat. But he knows they might have to if the Indian tacos are too expensive. If food prices are anything like the food at A's games when it's not dollar night. They only knew about Indian tacos because their grandma made them for their birthdays. It was one of the few Indian things she did. And she was always sure to remind them that it's not traditional, and that it comes from lacking resources and wanting comfort food. To be sure they'd at least be able to afford an Indian taco each, they rode their bikes up to the fountain behind the Mormon temple. Luther had just been there for a field trip to Joaquin Miller Park, and he said people threw coins in for wishes. They made Lonnie roll up his pants and gather all the coins he could see, while Orville and Luther threw rocks at the community building at the top of the stairs above the fountain. A distraction they didn't see at the time might have been worse than the fountain scraping itself. Going down Lincoln Avenue after that was one of the best and stupidest things they'd ever done together. You could get going so fast down a hill, there was nothing else happening in the whole world but the feeling of the speed moving through you and the wind in your eyes. They went to Bayfair Center in San Leandro and scraped out what they could from that fountain before being chased off by a security guard. They took the bus up to the Lawrence Hall of Science in the Berkeley Hills, where there was a double fountain, which they knew would be practically untouched because only rich people or monitored kids on field trips went to that place. After rolling up all the coins and turning them in at the bank, they came away with a total of $14.91. When they get to the entrance at the Coliseum, Orville looks back at Luther and asks if he has the lock.
"You always bring it," Luther says.
"I asked you to get it before we left the house. I said, Luther, can you get the lock? I don't want it messing up my regalia."
"You seriously didn't bring it?"
"Fuck. What are we gonna do? I asked you right before we left the house. You said, yeah, I got it. Luther, you said, yeah, I got it."
"I must have been talking about something else," Luther says.
Orville breathes out the word okay and signals for them to follow him. They hide their bikes in some bushes on the other side of the Coliseum.
"Grandma'll kill us if we lose our bikes," Lonnie says.
"Well, there's no not going," Orville says, "so we're going."